Look at verse number 16 where the Bible read, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And the title of the morning sermon is redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. What does the word redeem mean? Well, I looked it up in a dictionary. Redeem means to gain or regain possession of something. So in this context, what are we gaining or regaining possession of? That would be time specifically. And time is a precious commodity. Time is something of great value. It's a limited resource that we only have for what the Bible describes as a short space or a short amount of time. Keep your finger here in Ephesians chapter 5 because it's going to be the crux of our sermon. However, I want you to look at Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. It's in about the middle of your Bible. James chapter number 4 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. At times, we feel as if our lives are passing by in a moment, very quickly. It just flies by. At other times, it feels like it drags on, you know, when you're just forced to be inside and you're not allowed to go outside. Maybe time can feel like it slows down. But the reality is time's never changed. Still just tick, tick, tick. I mean, time doesn't change. No matter what your life is going on, if it's fast or slow, time itself is actually always consistent, isn't it? A second's a second, a week is a week, a month is a month, a year is a year, and it all cycles over, over and over. But according to the Bible, it's very short. According to the Bible, the time that we have, whether you think of it 70 years or 80 years, perhaps if you live for a really long time, it's very short in connection with eternity and what the Bible is telling us. And if the Bible is constantly reiterating the fact that we have little time, then we want to make sure that we're using our time to the best of our ability. We're maximizing our time. We're redeeming that time. Psalms 103 says, as for a man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. The Bible describes our time on this earth is like grass, which today is and tomorrow is just cast in the oven, right? Isaiah 40, look at verse 6. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the godliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So he contrasts mankind with the word of God. Mankind is like grass, which is just so fragile. We just cut grass all the time, especially if you live in this area. It rains all the time, so grass is constantly sprouting, so you have to constantly cut it. And the grass that you had 2 weeks ago is gone. The wind just carries it away. You don't even know what happens to it. It just completely deteriorates. This is what people are like in general. And the connection with eternity, they're just here today, gone tomorrow. Go to Psalms 90. Go backwards in your Bible to Psalms chapter 90. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So again, we're constantly referred to as grass, you know, which I don't know about you, but grass doesn't seem to be the most important thing, does it? It seems to be kind of fragile. It just lives a very short lifespan. I think there's certain insects, like certain flies. There's these weird flies. I can't remember the name of these big ones. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? They're here in Dallas. They're these big, huge flies, and they're just like really annoying. I think they only live for like a day or two. My wife was telling me that they don't even have a mouth, so they can't even eat. They're just like, I can't remember the name of it, but what is it? Mayflies maybe? Yeah, I think it's mayflies. Something like their whole life existence is like 24 hours. And you would think, wow, what a trivial existence. But from God's perspective, that's what we're like. We're just kind of just here and gone. There's really, it's such a short amount of time that we have to redeem our time. We have to use our time wisely that God has given to us. Because from the connection of eternity, we don't realize how little the time we have that's here. Psalms 90 verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, I've never heard an old person say, life's just gone on for so long. Usually what they say is, man, it was just over like that. I remember when I was a kid. I remember when I had kids. I remember when they were being raised in my house. And all of a sudden, they're just gone. I don't even have them anymore. It just seems like a blur. And you can't even remember most of the stuff that even happened in your life because it was such a blur. We have to realize we need to number our days and decide, hey, we need to redeem some of this time. Psalms 144 says, man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to emphasize that the Bible is telling us that your life is very short. So if your life is very short, then you want to use it wisely. If you don't have a lot of money, you want to use it wisely. If you don't have a lot of talents, you want to use them wisely. Whatever resources you have that are precious or limited, you want to make sure to use them wisely. In America, what's the shortage? Respirators, right? They want to make sure they're using them wisely. So any precious commodity or something that we have a limited resource of, we want to treat with care. Time, according to the Bible, is one of those commodities. And it's probably one of the most important commodities that we have. There's no getting back time. You can't go back in time and fix anything. Every second that's already ticked by, every moment, every week, every year, it's gone. You can't change it. You can't affect it. The only thing you can do is affect the future. The only thing you can do is affect the present. The only thing you can redeem is your future time. You can't redeem the past time. It's gone. You've already spent that. Every dollar that I've already spent is already gone. All I can do is affect the money that I get from now on, all the increase that I get in the future. The only thing I can do with my time is affect the present and affect the future, okay? Now, the Bible's going to tell us very clearly what God thinks this means, because we could take this sermon in every direction you could possibly imagine, couldn't we? Talking about how people waste their time. But, you know, I find in this chapter three places where it's the biggest time wasters, and it tells us. Three of the biggest time wasters we can find in this chapter. I'm not going to my own personal opinion. I'm just saying, what does the text say? And then we're going to go from there, okay? Let's just read a few verses. Verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine. So right after he mentions redeeming the time, what's in the next breath? People who drink alcohol. And if you want to know how to waste your life, it's by drinking alcohol. It's by drugs and alcohol. This is a complete destruction to your life. It is not redeeming the time. It is losing the time. And the Bible makes it very clear that you're going to do all kinds of horrible things when you drink. Go to Proverbs 23. Go to Proverbs 23. Alcohol wastes your time. Alcohol can cause you to pass out drunk. And you know what you do in that time? Waste time. It can cause you to black out where you don't even remember what you're doing. Alcohol literally makes you stupid. So not only do you drink alcohol to waste time, but it causes you to regress mentally. You actually become less intelligent the more that you drink alcohol. It makes you an idiot. It makes you a fool, according to the Bible. Look at Proverbs 23, verse 20. Here's another benefit. It says, be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. The Bible says not only will you lose your time, you're going to lose your money. And you know when you lose money, that's losing time too. Because you have to go and work harder just to make up for all the money that you've lost for being such a derelict, for being such a loser, for having so much poverty come upon you. And I've read so many articles recently about how there's a direct connection to alcohol and poverty. Now, if you're a soul winner, I don't even have to teach this to you. Because when you go into the poor neighborhoods, you know what you see? A bunch of beer bottles, alcohol, people who are drunk and wasted out of their mind, just living in a derelict gutter. You go and there's a liquor store on every corner of the poor neighborhood. Why? Because there's a direct connection with drinking alcohol and being a poor, derelict loser. Now, I'm going to read an article for you. It said the relationship between neighborhood poverty and alcohol use, estimated by marginal structural models. So what they did is they would take a bunch of neighborhoods and they would assess their poverty level and they'd measure them by certain units. And they said every time you went up in one unit of measurement for the poverty level, it said there was an 86% increase in the odds of the people binge drinking in that area. An 86% increase. As soon as you went to another measure of poverty, more binge drinking. And then another unit of measurement, more binge drinking. And you want to know the people that get the most wasted? Look at the bums on the corner. I mean, you want to know who drinks the most alcohol? It's the homeless. I mean, the homeless, derelict, drug addict, dope addict, drunks. Why? They just want to pass time, don't they? They can't wait for it to be night, and then they can't wait for it to be morning, and they can't wait for it to be night. They have no life. They have no reason to live, so they just want to drink alcohol so that they can just pass their time by. And look, that is not for God's people. We are not going to just, we're not supposed to just sit here and have a drunken stupor until Jesus comes. What a horrible way to waste your life. Let's keep reading this chapter, because this is a great chapter of the Bible. Verse 29, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. So we have a horrible list of symptoms of somebody that's an alcoholic. What happens? They're constantly in sorrow. They're constantly in woe. They're constantly in contentions. They're constantly babbling foolish nonsense. They have redness of eyes. But what's most important to this concept here that we're talking about this morning, they're addicted. They go and seek it, don't they? They want the suffering. They want that kind of affliction. Why would you want such affliction? Why would you want such woe? They say they go through all these horrible situations. They get beat up. They destroy their body. And they wake up in the morning, let's do it all over again. This is their attitude. And all their time is consumed on getting the next buzz. They're not redeeming the time. They're seeking to get the next buzz and to destroy their body even more and just to constantly just waste time. You know what college usually is? A waste of time. Young people destroying their bodies, becoming, you know, full of debauchery and filth and smut and just wasting time while they have some idiot professor lie to them about the world and they just get so deceived. That doesn't help them get a job. You know what's bad for somebody getting a job? Just being drunk for 4 years. Being a drunken idiot and a moron, learning about evolution and drinking alcohol. I mean, I don't know what's worse for you, really. They're both poison. They're both going to destroy you. And people are just going to college is so important to them. Look, I'm all for learning, but everybody realizes the 18 to 20-year-olds going to college today, they're not interested in learning and getting a good job. They're interested in fornication and drinking alcohol. They're interested in just wasting time, destroying their lives, adding no value to their life, no skill. Look, that is not a redeeming of your time. And hey, if going to college was actually all that it's cracked up to be, you're going to become wiser and smarter and get a better job, then maybe I'd be for it. But most everybody fails at all three of those. So if you want to ask me what's better use of your time, not going to college, getting a job, being a man, learning on your own, why don't you get the same information just from reading a book? You know, how about you just read the Bible? I guarantee if you take a young man and you just put him in the worst job and he just read his Bible for an hour every single day for 4 years, he'd be way better off than the guy that went to college. Go to some secular college and learn about how to worship the devil and drink alcohol and play beer pong. Look, that is not going to add anything to your life. That is a complete waste of time. It adds nothing to you. I did go to college. I did graduate with a degree in management. And I was qualified to manage literally nothing when I graduated. I also had a minor in marketing, which helped me to advertise absolutely nothing. Then I went back to get a master's degree in finance and economics, and it was worthless. You know why? Because you study about how finance and economics is supposed to be, and then you look at the real world and you watch all of the governing officials do insider trading, and you realize, oh, okay, so it's all a game for cheaters. And hey, you know what college is? It's a game for cheaters because most courses are online courses, and all people do is just look up the answer on Google, and it's just teaching you how to cheat and drink alcohol, and then guess what happens? Oh, yeah, they become an elected official where they cheat and drink alcohol. And then they pass a stimulus bill so they can give money to companies that are failing so they can go buy a stock option for some company that's failed and a loser and a drunk and a derelict and buy a bunch of stock options, and then the government will give them this magical bailout. Their stock will jump up 10 bucks, and they'll make millions. Why? Because they're a bunch of cheating drunks today. Yeah. And you know what? I'm not interested in that market. I'm interested in God's market today and redeeming my time with things of value. I'm not interested in unjust gain. And you know what? It's a fool's errand if you think you're going to be a righteous person and win in the stock market game. It's a game for cheaters. It's a den of thieves, okay? And look, I'm not against people that are using wise investments. And, you know, we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But if you think that that industry isn't full of just wicked, evil Jews, then I don't know what else to tell you, all right? Yeah. I got off. We're on alcohol, all right? And look, you know who loves alcohol? All the politicians, all right? Virtually. You know who else loves alcohol? Country music fans. So I just typed into Google top country music songs, all right? Just what are the top ones? I don't care. I don't listen to it. I hate all country music, period, okay? So there's no way I'd even know what the country songs are. The only thing I know is they're always about alcohol. I just know that. So I type it in. Here's number two, okay? One Night Standards by Ashley McBride. This is the lyrics of this loser song. I ain't gonna stay for the weekend. I ain't gonna jump off the deep end. I ain't gonna ask where your ring is. Thing is, we all got secrets. You don't want to hear about my last breakup. I don't want to worry about space you take up. I don't even care if you're here when I wake up. It's just a room key. You ain't gonna lie to me. Can't you just use me like I'm using you? How it goes, bar closes. There's no king. Bed covered in roses. Just a room without a view. I don't want a number. You ain't got an answer. Let's just stick to one night standards. What kind of filth is this? How is that the number two song? And what did the Bible tell us? When you drink alcohol, thine eyes shall behold strange women. You're going to utter perverse things. Why do they have to do that? Look, you have to be drunk to enjoy country music. That's why I'm convinced they're all about drinking. They're all about beer. They're all about alcohol. And you know what happens when you drink a bunch of alcohol? You commit adultery. You commit fornication. You commit these wicked sins. And you know what? You lose all your time. Lose all your time to that paycheck that goes to for child support. Yeah. Lose all that time driving from house to drop the kids off with the other parent. Yeah. Yeah. Lose all that time to going to the clinic to get checked on your STDs. Yeah. And you have to sit there and scrape, like Job did, scrape the little nasty STD off your body and the itching and the burning. Look, you want to waste your life? Listen to country music, okay? And if you listen to country music, it might cause you to drink because that's the only way you can get through it. And then you're going to be committing all kinds of adultery and fornication. It's a bad cycle, my friend. Committing these type of sins just leads to another sin and another sin, and then you wake up in the gutter and you're homeless. Children, drinking is for idiots. It's for fools. It's the biggest waste of your life. Never touch it. The Bible says not even to look at it. Never. You know what? If they make fun of you, they're the idiot. They're the fool. You are going to be a wise person and say, you know what? I'm going to redeem my time. I don't hate my life. I don't hate my family. I'm not going to do this wicked sin. When you drink alcohol, it can literally cause you to just fall down just in a stupor. You just pass out. You could. I've seen people, they're just literally standing up, and then all of a sudden they're just like, ah. And then you know what they do to those people? Whatever they want.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
They take their clothes off and do weird stuff to them. They draw on their face perverted images. They put disgusting things all over them. They put them and they leave them in the gutter. They leave them in the shower with the water on. And they don't even know where they're at or what people are doing to them. They can just black out. They have no idea what's going on. They don't even know their own name. And they can just hurt themselves and destroy their bodies. They can run into the wall and not even feel like they hurt themselves. They can just let a TV fall on their head and smash their head to pieces. They'll jump through windows and cut themselves up with glass. This is what it's like to be a drunk. It's like a toddler on, you know, ADHD medication, you know, that's for ADHD, or I don't know. It's like causing it. Go to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. It's a bad system. Yet, the world does not advertise this. The world advertises some, you know, attractive young man or attractive young woman with this cool-looking beverage, this cool-looking drink. You know, when I was a kid, I thought alcohol was so bad, I wouldn't even drink root beer. I just wanted to abstain from all appearance of evil. It's not cool. There's nothing cool about it. It smells gross. It is gross. I'm not for it. And there's been times in America when it wasn't cool. There's been times in America even amongst unsaved people where it was illegal to drink alcohol because it was a poison back then and it's a poison now. Yet our society today praises it, worships it, loves it because they just want to pass away the time. They hate their lives so much that they just want to drink alcohol and forget their life. Look at Proverbs 31, verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink, and notice this, and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Look, if you want to just waste your life, drink alcohol. And notice this guy has to forget his poverty because guess what? When you're a drunk, you're going to be poor. Yep. When you're a drunk, you're going to destroy yourself. You look at these celebrities and these famous athletes who make literally millions of dollars a year, yet the drunkards end up losing all of it. They'll make $30 million a year, and as soon as they quit their, you know, five-year career in the NBA, their six-year career as a running back in the NFL, they're broke. They actually have less money than you and I because they have like negative $10 million in debt because they just overspent and they just bought a bunch of luxury items that depreciated in value and they have no money, they have no friends, they have no life, and then a lot of times they'll kill themselves. Hey, you want to redeem the time? Never touch alcohol. Don't even look at it. Have nothing to do with it. If someone wants to be your friend and says, let's go drink alcohol, drop your friend. It is not worth it. Notice the Bible says you're going to forget things. You're going to forget God's commandments. And then what happens? You start listening to country music. And then you start committing adultery and fornication and going to the bars. And it's just a downward spiral into death. Now, I looked at statistics for this recent last few weeks. Says U.S. alcohol sales have increased 55% in 1 week with the coronavirus pandemic. 55%. And America was not sober before the coronavirus. What do they want to do? We just got to get through this. Let's just drink it away. Let's just drink and just be so drunk and let's just pass out and let's just, what a worthless existence. Your life is worthless if you have to drink alcohol to get by. Your life, if the only thing that's fun to you is drinking alcohol, you suck at life. You're not fun. You know what? I do not enjoy being around a drunk person for 1 second. Their breath smells like death. They're an idiot. They're a fool. You're constantly nervous. They're going to break everything, hurt themselves. They're going to use the bathroom on themselves. They're going to vomit everywhere. They might start taking off their clothes. They're going to say perverted things. It's not fun. You know what's fun? Hanging out with people that know the Bible, that are intelligent, that are well-dressed, that are respectful, that you're not afraid they're about to hurt every single person in the room. No, that's what's fun. I like playing games with people and talking with people. You know, it's not fun talking to a drunk. They don't even know which way's up. They don't know anything that's going on. Yet, Americans today, they're just drinking away their problems. They drink away their poverty. Oh, I don't have a job anymore. Well, I better go buy booze immediately. What kind of nonsense? You shouldn't even be touching liquor ever, let alone in a pandemic. I mean, it's more dangerous. Well, let's just drink then. What nonsense? Specifically, they say that liquor sales increased by 75%. So the goal here is not to be sober. Because if you drink liquor for 1 second, you have no intentions of being sober. You can never convince me. No one drinks liquor to be sober for any reason. That's why when the Bible warns that if you're a drunkard, you're going to be thrown out of church, one of my five descriptions of who a drunk is someone who drinks liquor at all. Because you could never convince me that you're doing anything other than trying to be drunk. There's no reason to drink liquor. Zero, except for if you want to be drunk, you want to be buzzed, you want the feeling of alcohol, you want to be inebriated, you want to get that buzz, whatever it is, I don't care. There's no reason to drink alcohol ever, but liquor especially. Liquor is the worst. Liquor is, I say, hey, I just want to get an IV of poison and just shoot it into my body. And some of this liquor is so toxic. Stuff like Everclear, it's like 180 proof. It's so hard. People can't even hardly drink it. It's so toxic. It's so poisonous. If someone takes a shot of something with that much potency, oftentimes they'll spit it out because it hurts so much going down the esophagus. It's literally destroying your mouth and your organs as it's going down your body. Oh, I have an acquired taste for it. No, you don't. Do you also eat swords? You know, those are for circus freaks, okay? That's nonsense. That's stupid. Beer has also gone up 66%, and then wine 42%. So round it out to about 55%. That tells me there's a lot of winos out there. And, you know, you're going to lose all your time. You're going to lose all your money. You're going to also lose your money quicker than you thought because a bottle of liquor is anywhere from $12 to $35 a piece. The average American, according to a lot of statistics, spends about $550 a year on alcohol. But here's the thing. A lot of people don't even drink. So I was wondering, how about the people that are actually alcoholics? How much money do they spend? How much are they bringing up that curve, okay? Well, there was an article of a couple people that realized how much money they were throwing away in alcohol, and their only motivation to stop drinking was to not be poor. But this one guy stopped drinking alcohol and coffee. He said he was saving $1,000 a month when he decided to stop drinking alcohol and coffee. He must have been going to Starbucks a lot too. I don't know. It's expensive. But not as expensive as alcohol. I mean, some of these places, bars and restaurants, it could be 10 bucks a drink. And people will drink like a dozen drinks. Like that's a $120 bar tab that people are ringing up constantly. And no one likes to drink alone, so they got to buy their buddy a drink too, don't they? Yep. They got to give their buddy a drink and this guy a drink. And, oh, drink's on me. And, you know, everybody, let's have a good time. And woo! Because if you're an idiot, you want everybody else to be dumb with you. You don't want to be in a sober place when you're drinking alcohol. Go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. If you need to redeem the time, you need to be sober. You need to be serious. Take your life seriously. It's such a slap to God in the face who gave you breath and life to just waste your time drinking poison. I mean, what's... You give your child life and it just tries to kill itself constantly by drinking poison. What a slap in the face that you even made that creation. Proverbs chapter 20. Now, before I get here, when I told you I looked up the top country songs, okay, I gave you number two. How about number one? Literally, I just type in top country music hits, okay, because I don't care. I'm not biased here. I just want to know. I thought in my mind it's all about alcohol and then just proven right again. Number one song, Beer Never Broke My Heart by Luke Combs. He says, I've had a largemouth bass bust my line. A couple beautiful girls tell me goodbye. Trucks break down. Dogs run off. Politicians lie. Been fired by the boss. This just sounds like anybody that drinks alcohol. It takes one hand to count the things I could count on. No, there ain't much, man, that ever let me down. Long neck. Ice cold beer never broke my heart. Oh, what a brilliant person you are, Luke Combs. Well, if you threw the beer in the trash, maybe all the women and bosses and everything else in your life wouldn't run away screaming. Yeah. Idiot. He says, like diamond rings and football teams have torn this boy apart. Who, what guy in here cares about diamond rings? Sounds like a fag to me. Yeah. I mean, what kind of nonsense? I've never had a diamond ring tore my heart. Oh, man. Like a neon dream, it just dawned on me that bars and this guitar and a long neck ice cold beer never broke my heart. Well, let's see what the Bible says. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Luke Combs is an idiot. He's a moron. If he thinks that beer is not destroying his life, if it's the only thing he can count on, he is not wise, what the Bible says. You are an idiot. You are a fool. Everything else in this life is better than alcohol. What kind of foolish nonsense to say, you know what, I'm going to give up on women and friends and my job, but I got beer. You sound like you're about to be a homeless idiot, really. You're about to have a sign that says, we'll do anything for alcohol. I didn't realize that's not what they said. I thought that's what they said. Maybe I don't read far enough down the list. In Texas, adults drinking excessively is 17.3% of the population. 17% of all adults in the state of Texas are drinking alcohol excessively. I'm guessing that number's going up after this last few weeks. Alcohol-related driving deaths. So of the people that die in an accident revolving around cars, what percentage is related to alcohol in the state of Texas? 29.9%. Almost one-third of all driving accidents where it causes a fatality is due to alcohol. And hey, I can see it. Me and my wife were driving in Houston up to Dallas-Fort Worth again from church or whatever, and there's a guy that's like passed out drunk virtually in his car driving on the highway at like 11 in the morning or something. I don't know. It was like early in the morning. And this guy, I mean, he's just like, he can't even keep his head up. He's just like, and then he'll just go run into the side. I mean, I just darted off the highway because I don't know what kind of accident that guy was about to cause, but it was insane. He's just going everywhere. Hubcaps are flying, just running into things. Look, the first thing you lose when you drink alcohol is your judgment. Any good judgment you think you have is gone. And most people don't even start out with good judgment. So whenever they lose whatever little bit of judgment they have, it's extremely dangerous. How come the world's not freaking out about the drunk drivers on the highway? Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Point one, if you want to redeem the time, don't drink alcohol. Don't look at it. Don't touch it. It will only destroy you. And it'll take away all of your precious time. Because if you get in a drunk driving accident and kill somebody, you know where you're going to spend the rest of your life? Jail. And if you talk about a horrible existence, jail. I would never want that. That's like one of the cruelest punishments you can imagine. Locking someone up in a cage with other horrible people. Nothing better. Oh, actually, that's the worst punishment. In my mind, I'd rather just take whatever, you know, just take death or something. I don't want to sit there and be around a bunch of child molesters and violent predators locked up in a cage eating slop for the rest of my life. That sounds terrible. But you know what? Why don't you just drink alcohol and get in a car and kill someone and your life will be destroyed. Your life will be ruined forever. That is not redeeming the time. We need to be sober today. Look at verse 12. Here's my second point. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So we don't have to go far. We can just let the Bible speak for itself. It says that one way that you can be sinning greatly, and this is, in my opinion, either the number one or number two way to waste your time, is looking at things that you shouldn't be even discussing. It's called television. The Bible says it's a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And you know what television is? It's just broadcasting all those things in secret, isn't it? Yep. It's just constant filth, constant smut. And if you want to waste your life, buy a TV. Have a TV in every single room. Some people have a TV everywhere. Sometimes people watch TV every second of their life because they wake up in the morning with the TV. And they go and they get ready and they're watching TV while they're getting ready. And they go to work. And I've been in workplaces where they have TV set up. I'm like, what in the world? Why is there a TV in my workplace? And then they go to the restaurant and there's a TV. And then they go home and they watch TV. And then they can't fall asleep, so they leave the TV on. And it's like, do you do anything other than TV? No. That is some people's real existence. Some people live and die to watch TV. And you know what TV's full of? Things that should never even be spoken, according to the Bible. It's the biggest waste of your life. It adds no value to your life. And not only that, it's not just vain. It also brainwashes you at the same time. Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's slowly destroying your mind. At restaurants, there's literally TVs installed in every corner because apparently eating out and talking with people is not exciting enough. I mean, what kind of society do we live in where I can be eating great food and be sitting with people that I supposedly love and like, and I can't even have a conversation with them? I have to be watching TV because I don't have enough things going on right now. And let alone, I'll get to phones in a minute, but let alone, I mean, there's just literally TVs everywhere. And then there's some places called sports bars where there's people, they're drinking alcohol while they're just watching TV. Talk about a double lose of time. I mean, it's literally a trap. It's a trap. People will go to a sports bar for 3 or 4 hours. That's their entire Saturday. All they do is to live for Saturday, and they just go to the sports bar on Saturday, and they watch the college football game, and then they watch the UFC match, and then they just spend their whole day there, and they waste, you know, a couple $100 on alcohol and booze and crappy food, and then they go home and wake up in the morning at like 11 a.m. just in time to catch all the NFL football games, and they have to go back to the bar and watch all the football games. They're just wasting their life every moment. Every second is just a complete waste of all the time that God has allotted them. God says, hey, I'm going to give you 70 years. What are you going to do with it? Just watch filth while I drink filth. I'm just going to drink poison while I allow poison to enter into my heart and mind through the television, or the hellavision, as better called. I mean, what? How can God not just be upset? I mean, all you're doing is just destroying your body, destroying yourself. And people don't realize how addicted they are to TV. See, I don't like this preaching. That's because you're addicted to television. Yeah. Look, it controls your mind, will, and emotions. There are people that if you try to interject, hey, would you just turn that off for a minute? They're offended. Yeah. Hey, when we come over, we want to talk to you and hang out. Can you turn the TV off? Turn the TV off? What are you talking about? Some people just have to have the TV on, whether they're watching it or not. It's like, do you not realize how addicted you are? How much it controls your life? If you couldn't stop watching TV for a week, you're addicted. Yep. A week? What are you going to do that whole week? Live your life. Amen. Let me give you a secret. Did you know before the 1900s, no one had a TV? For thousands of years. No TVs. What did they do? They lived their lives. And now all of a sudden, we're just like a standby. We just watch our lives pass by. Great, America's greatest pastime, baseball. People just watch baseball. How many baseball games are there a year? There's like 180 baseball games. And literally, it's like watching the grass grow. I mean, the guy just stands up there, and it's just like. I didn't want to swing at that one. It'd be too much energy and effort. Oh. I'm already bored. Oh. Swing and a miss. All right, next guy. It's like they literally thought, what's going to take the most amount of time with the littlest amount of action? Baseball. Yeah. I mean, if you watch the highlights of baseball, like all the action, it's like 2 minutes. And it took like 3.5 hours. What is this? It's literally a waste of every second. People will sit down at a plastic box and watch baseball. Look, I like going to a baseball game. I think it's kind of fun. It's a little bit enjoyable. But man, watching it on TV has to just be like, I would rather just get it punched in the face than waste 3 hours of my life. I'll probably feel better in 3 hours than I did from the punch in the face. The only thing I can think of is much worse is NASCAR. The people that watch NASCAR have no lives. You have to drink. You're listening to country music while you're drinking and watching NASCAR. It's such a hillbilly, redneck, loser of a life. Sorry to wake you up today. Sorry to tell you that your life is meaningless. It's meaningless. They're driving in a circle. Did anybody else notice that? There's nothing cool about it. You can't even tell who's winning. You turn it on. You don't know who's first and last unless the announcers tell you. Because it's just confusing. They're all just driving in a circle, and then they just give a trophy to one of them at the end. The one that didn't crash and die because it was such a gladiator sport. This is the life of people today.
Well, what did they do? What did they do, Pastor Shelley, without TV?
I don't know. They weren't idiots. They weren't morons. They read books. They went outside. They worked. Because if they didn't work, they weren't going to eat. They didn't live in such abundance. They didn't live with so much fullness of bread today. So if they actually didn't work, they weren't going to eat. So they actually went outside and did a bunch of work, and they actually made money. And then you know what? Our country wasn't so wicked. Yeah. You know why our country's so wicked? Because people just sit there and watch cars go in circles all day. Because people just watch a guy throwing a ball into a mitt, and some guy accidentally hits it every once in a while. I mean, wake up, people. And look, that's the best thing you can watch on TV. Yeah. Sports, in my opinion, is probably the best thing you can watch on TV when I consider the content. Yeah. I mean, the content that's not sports is so wicked and vile, it's a shame to even speak of those things which are done in the secret. Right. I'm only going to give you a taste this morning, but I looked at an article, 80% of our population is watching TV on a given day. 80%. I am not in the 80%. I don't own a TV. And look, there's nothing wrong with the TV itself, okay? Let me give you a quick caveat. TV, neutral. Everything that comes from the cable company, bad.
Yeah.
Everything that comes from Dish Network, bad. Yeah. I don't even know if they still exist. It's like all Netflix and Hulu and YouTube now, but pretty much all the programming that's coming into it, bad. Hey, music, good. Radio, horrible. You know, it's not that music's bad. It's just everything that's played on the radio is virtually horrifying. It's just lies and deception and smut, and all the music they play today is so ungodly. Now, I looked at the generation gap in TV consumption. Those from the age range of 18 to 34 watch 1 hour and 54 minutes of TV every day. Those from 35 to 49 watch 3 hours and 43 minutes every single day. Those from 50 years old to 64 years old watch 5 hours and 50 minutes every single day. Those that are 65 and plus watch 7 hours and 15 minutes every single day. So you know who's teaching our generation to watch TV? The baby boomers, the elderly. Why? Because they just have nothing left to do. Let's just waste the rest of our life. You know, the Bible teaches that the elder people have a really important job in teaching the younger generations. But you know what they did? They didn't have kids. They waste their life in debauchery and sin and drinking alcohol, and their kids hate them, and they have nothing to live for, so they just watch The Price is Right. They just watch the soap operas. They just watch the news. There's a lot of old people, and you know what they spend 99% of their time doing? Watching Fox News. Watching MSNBC, and they become literal idiots. If you watch the news, it's literally only downgrading your IQ immediately. The news is one of the worst things you can possibly watch on a regular basis. It will destroy you. Go to Psalms 101. Psalms 101. Let me give you another Bible verse here. Because obviously we could use, it's a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret in a lot of contexts. Let me give you another one that's in the context we're talking about. Sitting and watching a box of filth, Psalms 101, look at verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. The Bible says if there's something wicked in your eyes, destroy it. Get rid of it. Have nothing to do with it. Not on purpose saying, here's filth. Let's just set it up in the middle of our house and organize all the furniture around it, point it at it, and that's what we spend most of our time doing is worshiping filth, worshiping sin, worshiping debauchery. I mean, most people's living room, what is it centered around? The filth box. I'm just telling you. Now, let me give you an idea of an article. I didn't write this article. It says, in traditional advertising, TV programs and movies show substance abuse in a way that is generally positive. But since it is not seen as an advertisement, it has been less criticized. Consequently, young people get a mixed message about substance abuse, and media is contributing significantly to the risk of young people engaging in substance abuse. Teenagers today are 400 times more likely to see an alcohol ad than to see a public service announcement that discourages underage drinking. So you're 400 times more likely, you get 400 advertisements telling you how great alcohol is, and then one that says it's bad. And if you don't go to church, that's the only one you get. And if you don't go to a good church, that's the only one you get. 400 times. Just sit there. Anybody would change their mind. If I just sat you down and I just said, alcohol's good. Alcohol's good. Alcohol's good. 400 times. You might start believing that. Because it's that many times. But you don't realize that's what the TV's doing to you. Alcohol's good. Alcohol's good. Alcohol's good. Alcohol's good. Oh, oh, Jesus drunk wine. Oh, moron. Fool. Blasphemy. Why? Because they're just sitting there and watching the filth, watching the smut. I went to a church where the pastor would constantly bring up TV shows. You know why? We cannot help but speak the things which we've seen and heard. It's obvious. All he does is watch TV. Yeah. So he doesn't have anything interesting to say from the Bible. He just wants to tell you all about the TV shows he watched. Telling people to watch TV inadvertently. Alcohol remains the number one drug portrayed on American television. One drinking scene is shown every 22 minutes. One smoking scene every 57 minutes. And one illicit drug use scene every 112 minutes. Job said in chapter 31, verse 1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Job says, I don't want to see anything that would cause me to start having lustful thoughts. What does TV do? Every girl's dressed like a whore. All of them. You say, are they naked? They don't have to be naked. And virtually, usually they are anyways. It's gross what's on the television. Now, I also did a thing, because I don't care. I don't watch TV. I said, top TV shows. So I just want to see what's out there. Let's see how righteous TV is today. Okay? I was not picking anything on purpose. All I did was say number one TV shows. It took me to a site called Rotten Tomatoes. It's pretty popular. A lot of people know that. And it just gave me what they say are the top TV shows. Now, there's two categories. The first one was what they recommend. And then the second category is what people are actually watching. Okay? The number one show recommended on Rotten Tomatoes, big poster, Feel Good. I can already tell it's bad. Well, I just read a little bit of the description. It's about some lesbian comedian and a lesbian relationship addicted to drugs. I'm shocked. Number one, hey, let's promote the worst filth. Some nasty dyke going around living a life of debauchery and sin and wickedness and filth. Number one show promoted. So then I looked at, okay, what are the shows that people are watching though? Because that's what they're recommending. That's what they're trying to get you to watch. What's the number one show by user, number of users watching it? Tiger King, Murder, Mayhem, and Madness. Now, I have no idea what this is. Sounds weird. I looked at the plot. This is the plot. This is the number one show people are watching. The series focuses on the little known but deeply interconnected society of big cat conversationalists and collectors in America, exploring the private zoos and sanctuaries they've set up for these unusual and deadly pets. So I guess these guys like raise tigers, I don't know. It says some eccentric characters include a former cocaine drug lord running a secret conservation facility. Jeff Lowe, a swinger who sneaks cubs into high-end hotels for parties and to attract women. I looked at the parental guidance. It said plural marriages are a central theme in some episodes. So it's literally advertising swinging and adultery and all kinds of wicked fornication. And not only that, the guy's a fag. The guy's literally a raging homosexual. Okay, so the number one show promoted, fags. The number one show being watched by people, fags. And yet, I guarantee Christians watch this trash too. I guarantee people watch this filth. Number two show by popularity, Ozark. It's an American crime drama web television series starring Jason Bateman and Laura Linney as a married couple who are forced to relocate their family to Ozarks to launder money for a Mexican drug cartel. Oh, drugs. Number three, Unorthodox. It's a 19-year-old Jewish woman named Etsy runs away from her arranged marriage and an ultra-Orthodox community in Brooklyn. She moves to Berlin, where her estranged mother lives and tries to navigate a secular life and takes classes at a music conservatory. Her husband, who finds out she was pregnant, travels to Berlin with his cousin by order of the rabbi to try and find her. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So this is super weird, but basically it's this like super Jewish family and they have an arranged marriage and this young girl gets pregnant by her husband and then just flees the country. And apparently she was just a fake the whole time because she takes off her hair and she has a buzz haircut. So you have this buzzed haircut Jew who's pregnant, who left her husband, going to bars and nightclubs. Why are people watching this filth and smut and trash? It makes no sense. And you know what? It used to be a shame for women to not have long hair. But every single show, all the girls have short hair. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. You know, it used to be when a woman got cancer and lost her hair, she was extremely embarrassed. She was ashamed. She bought a wig to cover that because she didn't want to go out looking like a dude. But today, women are promoting this. Women are advertising this. It's on all the popular TV shows. It's trash. Number four show, Money Heist. It involves eight robbers, codenamed after cities that led by the professor Alvaro Morte. From an external location, the story is primarily focused on one of the robbers, Tokyo. He doesn't sound very Hispanic. As they battle with hostages on the inside and the police on the inside, in the third part, the surviving robbers are forced out of hiding, and with the help of new members, they plan and perform assault on the Bank of Spain. So you get a bunch of people doing bank robberies. The parental guide says it's full of nudity and drugs. Okay, so we used to have Leave It to Beaver. Now every TV show is fags, drugs, Jews, thieves, and dykes. That's what you get. Oh, you don't understand, Pastor Shelley. I watched the Leave It to Beaver series. No, you don't. What show is that? These are the top shows that people are watching. And you know what? I know that Christians aren't different than non-Christians. They watch all this filth, smut, and trash too. You need to just throw your TV in the garbage. Amen. And you know what? You say, I only watch Framing the World documentaries, then okay, you know, more power to you, but I would at least disconnect the cable box. At least throw that one in the trash. You know, there's technically nothing different between a TV and a computer screen. There's technically nothing different between a TV screen, a computer screen, and this screen. And you know what? A lot of people are really self-righteous. They're all, I don't have a TV, but I do spend 10 hours on Facebook every single day. I watch YouTube every single second. I just watch Netflix on my computer all day. Look, some of these pious people that talk about how they don't have a TV, they just replace it with something else, which doesn't make it any better. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to my last point. You're preaching for a long time. Well, you have nothing else to do, so. We're redeeming your time. It's that awkward laugh. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. What's foolish talking? Well, my number one thought was social media. Now, here's the thing. TV is not inherently sinful. It's just majority of what goes on TV is. Social media. There's nothing wrong technically with social media. It's just another form of communication. If social media were a sin, writing letters would be a sin. Giving someone a handshake and saying hi to them would be a sin. Okay. Communication in and of itself is not a sin, yet communication is where many people get into sin very quickly. And social media affords people to commit all kinds of sin and hide behind the fact of its good nature. Hey, there's good things about communication. I use social media on a regular basis for the church even. That's probably the number one reason I even have anything social media is just to, hey, put out sermons, advertise the sermons, communicate with the church, talk about, you know, certain things. Secondarily, maybe I'll share pictures of my family or something. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with social media, yet we can't just say, oh, there's nothing wrong technically with social media, so I'm just going to commit a whole bunch of wicked sins with it and then say it's great. Look, there's a lot of people sinning constantly with social media. And one thing I notice is people pick the wrong battles. You want to waste your time? Pick the wrong battles with social media. You say, how do I pick the wrong battles? You're constantly commenting with trolls. You're concerned with all the trolls. Have you seen the latest troll video? No, because I don't hate my life. Hey, did you see what this troll said? And then I said this. And then they said that. And then this troll said this. They're trolls! Their job is to steal your time. They come not but for to steal, kill, and destroy your time, and you're just saying, please take it from me. You know what I do with troll comments? I delete them. I ignore them or delete them. That's my two options. I don't sit here and just, oh, I really have to answer this really important question about the flat earth. Have you seen this latest flat earth documentary? No, because I already know it's stupid. That would be like me tasting every single type of alcohol just to see that it's bad. I already know it's bad. I don't have to taste every kind of rum and every kind of filth and debauchery that's out there to realize it's bad. Hey, when there's a troll out there, ignore them. Quit getting in the wrong battle, Josiah. Josiah wants to go down there and fight with Pharaoh, King Necho, and he ends up getting killed. You know, Nehemiah, when he's building the wall, he says, hey, Sanballat, take a hike. In fact, they ask him, what's your name? And they're like, we're the children of God. He's not like, my name's Nehemiah. Let me tell you, are you saved, Sanballat? Some people get this pious attitude. They're trying to witness the gospel to trolls. They think they're righteous. Well, I was trying to get him saved. You're not going to get him saved. He's a troll. Stop thinking. This is the wrong battles to get in. If your life is a social keyboard warrior, it's a bad battle. It's not a battle to get in. We should not be consuming all of our effort. Look, the Bible says in Titus chapter 3, avoid foolish questions. And if I go anywhere on social media for even half a second, you know what constantly rings in my mind? Avoid foolish questions. You know what I see when someone has a foolish question? 100 comments. But they said something stupid. I have to correct it. No, the Bible says literally to avoid it. The Bible's saying avoid it. Hey, did you see this dumb thing someone said? And then someone commented something dumber. And then somebody said something even more idiotic. And I just got the popcorn out. No, avoid it. Have nothing to do with it. You know, when people say, did you see what so-and-so did? I say, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? I'm avoiding it. Whenever I see something that's stupid, I either scroll past or unfriend. This is your life. Unfriend. And then you're like, wow, my newsfeed is just like no one. Don't waste your life fighting the wrong battles here. They think that they're righteous because they're fighting trolls. And you don't realize you're losing. You lose every precious second of your life. You know your wife is never going to say this to you, men. You really handled that troll well today, buddy. You're so handsome and strong. Oh, man. You're so quick-witted against those reprobates. Please, just give me a kiss. Never going to happen. They're like, why are you wasting your life fighting trolls? Spend time with me. Am I not more important than a troll? And you know what? The trolls raise loser kids, and the people that fight the trolls could go down the same dark area. Look, my life is not about the trolls. You ignore the trolls. The trolls only get bigger the more you feed them. The less you feed them, the more you starve, they're going to go find some other garbage can to eat out of. And you know what? I'm not interested in them eating in my garbage can. You know, when I see a pest in my backyard, I want to kill it. I don't want to go over there and pet it. Hey, do you want some cornflakes? Oh, precious rat, you know. Look, the possum is not welcome in my home. He's gross. Have you seen those things? They're disgusting. And you know what comes out of everything about them is disgusting. Pick the right battles. The Bible says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. And you know, I'm picking on trolls, but I even see God's people say stupid things. And the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. If you're constantly blowing your mouth off, you're constantly saying stupid things. And then everybody feels like it's their job to fix every single person. Notice how many times I go out and police people's personal lives. How many stupid things have you said that I've ever gone? I'm just like, I can't believe it. Oh, man. Brother so-and-so, I can't believe you said that. Oh, you're so stupid. I don't ever do that, do I? But guarantee you, I see it every single day. Every single day. And then people want to come up to me like, did you see what so-and-so did? Yeah, it was stupid. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. That's their life. I'm not going to meddle and strife not belonging unto me. You know what? If they want to be stupid, be stupid. I'm not going to come help you get dressed in the morning. I'm not going to remind you to brush your teeth. I'm not going to remind you to eat your vegetables and your broccoli. And you know what I'm also not going to do? Police your Facebook. Police your YouTube channel. You know what? I see stupid crap all the time. You know what? Let it go. Have nothing to do with it. But you don't understand. They said something I disagree with. I have to fight. Look, you're losing your life. And sometimes you're wrong. And sometimes both people are wrong. It's called Republicans and Democrats. Look, there's people who literally make videos against me almost every single day. I could get so consumed in that and try to fight all those battles, and I'd be such a loser. I'd be like him if I did that. Don't be like them. Don't worry about them. Who cares what they're doing? I don't. I see people constantly sinning on social media, and here's one that, you know, will rub some people the wrong way, but it's what the Bible says. Go to Titus chapter 2. And again, I'm not bringing these things up because of personal opinion. I'm just bringing them because the Bible keeps reminding me of them. But I don't know why there's so many women that are interested in teaching the Bible on social media. Like Beth Moore and Joyce Meyer and Victoria Olsteen, women Bible studies. You know how much the Bible allots for women teaching the Bible? Zero. Never. That's how much. Now, obviously, I'm all for women going out and preaching the gospel to the lost. And you know what? They can teach their children, but from a public setting, never. And people have dedicated resources to this. They have whole groups dedicated to teaching women the Bible. And I'm just thinking like, well, how about these verses? Why don't you read these verses and explain them to me, okay? Titus chapter 2. Now, this is where they get this concept, okay? And let me explain it to you so you don't get confused. Titus chapter 2, verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, let me help you out. Verses 3 to 5 is a sentence. The context of the sentence is behavior. The teaching here, you know how you teach people the best? By your actions, not by your words. And the Bible is emphasizing women to teach people by their behavior. You love your husband, and that teaches other women to love their husband. Not going around and policing people and telling them to love their husband. No, you just love your husband, and that's the example and the model for other women to say, wow, she's always talking well of her husband when I'm around her. She's always doing good things for her husband. Her husband always looks nice and is respected and well-fed. That's the type of example that the women are setting here, not setting up all these social media accounts to teach with their mouth. Teach with your feet. Teach with your actions. And notice that they're supposed to be where? Keepers at home. Now, without social media, it would be impossible to teach people all this nonsense if you're at home. But because there's this cool invention of your iPhone being able to just broadcast your private life to everybody every second, people just feel it necessary to broadcast all of their details and all their life and constantly try to teach other people all about what they're doing. Look, why don't you just stay at home and keep it at home? It said discreet. You know what discreet is? Discretion. You don't know about it. You know, Jesus Christ answered somebody discreetly. You know what that meant? Just to them. You know, hey, my friend comes up to me and asks me a question in private. I just tell them in private. It's not a public YouTube channel. It's not a public Facebook group. It's not all these things going around and teaching all these things. Look, women need to redeem the time. The Bible is not, you're not going to get all these special crowns for all the people that you reach through social media. You know what God wants you to do? Obey your husband and serve your husband and serve your children. Don't neglect your husband and your children for strangers. That is not being a godly woman. Read Proverbs 31. It has nothing to do with strangers and everything to do with her husband and her children. Look, teach, it says chase. You know what chase means? Well, you add an N. What does that mean? Chasten. Now, what is chastening? It's discipline. So someone that is chase, you know what that means? They're well-disciplined. They're well behaved. You don't have to instruct them on how to behave themselves. They are chaste. And the word of God becomes blasphemed when you have all these women preachers like Joyce Meyer out there with her short haircut. And you know what? I even see godly women getting trapped up in this. Look, your job is not to go around and teach and boss everybody. And for some reason, you're hardwired to want to do it. I'm going to be honest. Everyone wants to go around and tell everybody how to live their life and gossip about every single person. And they want everybody to come to them and tell them all their little problems with their husband and their family and their kids so they can just instruct them about how godly and wonderful they are. It's not of the Bible. Now, let me give you a clear verse. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you want to learn something from the Bible, you don't need to have family Bible time with dad teaching the Bible. You're so interested in the Bible, okay, ask dad to start teaching you the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look at verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. So women are not supposed to get up and teach the Bible in church. But let's look at the next verse. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. So if a woman wants to learn the Bible, what are her options according to the Bible? Church, her husband. Where's the other option? I didn't see it. You say, yeah, but what about those women being good teachers? Yeah, by their behavior. They're always obeying their husband. And when someone comes up to them, they say, you need to go listen to your husband. Not, oh, tell me all about it. I would love to instruct you. Tell me all of your dirty laundry. Give me all of your problems. Your husband did that. Oh, you poor honey. God bless your heart. Tell me more. Oh, and that happened too? What about this? That's not for you to know. That's not for you to get involved with. When a woman says, hey, that's between you and your husband. I keep everything in our lives private. She's going to say, oh, that's what I need to do. When you say, let me tell you about what my husband does. Let me tell you about his problems. Look, this is a wicked attitude, and it happens in every church. Women love to gossip about anything and everything, even their own husbands, which there's nothing worse. You ought to never say anything negative about your husband, period. There's no place for it. And vice versa, men. Don't go around and complain, ah, my wife burnt the biscuits again, you know. I don't care what's going on. You keep the marriage to you. You're one flesh now. And if I just exposed all of your private thoughts to everybody, you would look like a fool. And you know what you're doing when you're talking about your spouse like that? You're exposing private thoughts. You're supposed to have discretion. And you're going to lose the trust and the intimacy in your relationship when you're going around telling other people about your life. Look, I have a problem in my relationship. Okay, my wife can come to me and talk to me about it. And you know what? You can learn biblical principles from the church and read the Bible, but don't ask Joyce Meyer. Don't get Beth Moore to come in and teach all the women how to behave themselves. And if you want to be a godly woman, be quiet and just love your husband. Be quiet. You know what a godly attribute is? A woman that's quiet. You know what's the attribute of an ungodly woman? Her feet abide not in her house. Oh, I just always want to go out. I can't believe this coronavirus. Well, maybe it's just forcing you to be more godly because you're going to be staying home. And you know you need to be serving with your time, number one, your husband, number two, your husband, number three, your husband, number four, your husband, number five, your husband, and then your children are a distant second, and then everybody else you can't even see. God created the woman to be a helpmeet unto him, not anybody else. It wasn't, I can't wait to create Eve to just help all the other women. No, it was for Adam. Neither was the man created for the woman. The woman was created for the man. You say, I don't like this kind of preaching. Well, you don't like the Bible. Because I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And I'm just making it a little bit more clear, maybe. Hey, I'm concerned with everybody's social media life. Why don't you be concerned that dinner's on the table? Why don't you be concerned that your husband's needs are met? Because you know what I don't care about? Any drama on social media. None of it. I'm concerned about dinner. What man, when they come home, wants to hear about all the gossip and is not interested in eating? Okay, what guy is interested in eating when they come home from work? Yeah, Hands all over the building. And if they didn't raise their hand, they spiritually did, okay? I saw it. I see that hand, all right? Look, what are you concerning your life with? And hey, all of us are guilty in this list, okay? Don't sit here and think about how that person's really guilty. Only concern with yourself. Only worry about yourself. What can you do better? Well, you need to redeem some time here. And make sure your husband needs are met. Obey your husband. Respect him. Go to Proverbs 31, last verse I'll have you turn to, okay? These are the things you should think of. Did I serve all of my husband's needs today? What did I teach my children? And what did you make? Why don't you make something? Why don't you do something? You know, the Proverbs 31 woman, she doesn't have this problem because she's concerned with her husband first, then her children, and then she didn't have time for all the other stuff. And hey, I'm not saying, don't hear me wrong. I am not saying that going on using social media in a limited basis is somehow wrong or a sin. You know what? Do it. But maybe you should just delete the app off your phone and just check it on your computer for 15 minutes every day. Because with the phone, it just seems like you spend 10 hours a day on it. Some people, it's like you post something and they like it before you even submitted it somehow. You're just like, what? And you know, I mean, look, some of us have a job where we're constantly having to be plugged into what's going on. You know, myself included, I upload lots of things and I'm doing stuff. So yeah, sometimes it seems like I'm a little active there. And maybe I'm too active. You know, I actually deleted the app off my phone so that I couldn't access it as easily. Just because I don't want to waste my time. You know, you're not going to want to hear what I have to preach about what I saw on Facebook. It was stupid anyways. You only care about this portion of the sermon. This is the good portion, not all the other stuff. Proverbs 31 woman, it says in verse number 26, she opened her mouth with wisdom and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So you say, well, look, women, they're supposed to go out and teach all this wisdom. Well, yeah, anytime a woman speaks, it should be with wisdom, but she's personified by being a quiet and meek spirit, okay? And look at the next verse. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. So, hey, husband's taken care at home, all the kids are good, all the house chores are done, you're just constantly just working and working, you haven't gotten any idleness, and then you say, hey, I want to go post a picture of my cute little kid, go for it. But don't make the replacement of your day, well, I got all my Facebook time in today, but I didn't get dinner done. I didn't get the dishes done. I didn't get the laundry done. My husband has just happened to scrounge for a hunger man somewhere. The husband had to bring McDonald's home again, which is just destroying his body, just like alcohol. It's like food alcohol. If you like McDonald's, you're just not going to like my preaching, okay? Get over it, all right? It's your own opinion. But at the end of the day, we need to be as people not eating the bread of idleness. Redeeming the time. Don't drink alcohol. Don't fill your day with just TV and social media and all this nonsense. It's adding nothing to your life. It's adding nothing to your value as a person. Read a book. Go work. Go do something with your life. Quit watching other people live their life. That's the biggest problem I have with social media. What is social media? Watching other people do fun stuff. You should be the person that's doing fun stuff. Because here's what happens. When you only do is watch other people have fun stuff, this is what happens. You become very not content with your own life. Well, they're always having fun. Well, they're always going out. Well, you see through a glass darkly in their life. Let me tell you, number one. Number two, it's artificial because you're just seeing, you have 700 friends, and so, of course, someone's always eating out, and someone's always going to the park, and someone always has it all together, and someone made the most amazing meal, you know. Look, it's a fake facade of uncontentness. I always called Pinterest the devil. Sorry to hate on Pinterest, but let me tell you what. Pinterest makes women so discontented with their lives. Because there's all these women that can sew better and dress better and make food better and do all these arts and crafts and they have all this extra time. You know why they have all this extra time? Because they don't have any children. You know what your art and craft project is? The 2-year-old toddler. And you know what? It's way better than any cheap garbage quilt or whatever they made. It's terrible. I don't want that. I want the two-year-old, you know, to be able to walk and eat and talk and everything else. When they sing praises to God, there's nothing better. When my kids sing the hymns, they have practice church services at home, and it's the greatest church services. They sing and they rejoice. And, you know, I don't have to broadcast every single one of them just to show how superior my life is to other people. Hey, if you have a better life, then just enjoy it. But why do I have to go around telling everybody how much better my life is? You know what? The people that have the best life are probably the least active on these platforms because they're living their life. They're not watching other people. We need to redeem the time today by listening to long sermons, all right? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. Thank you for these great instructions. I pray that people would just take to heart your words, that we realize that we have just a little time on this earth and that there's so many distractions out there. There's so many things that want to cause us to just lose our time and our effort and our energy and steal and rob from us all the precious time that you've given unto us. I pray that we would not be wasteful with the time that you've given us, but rather we'd be good stewards. And if there's anything in our lives that is taking away from time with you or serving you or our families or the people that are most important to us, I pray that we would just get the courage and the boldness to just get rid of it, to just have nothing to do with it, and that you would just help God's people just redeem their time and to fear your commandments and to serve you with the precious time you've allotted us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.